Good morning. Lovely to see everyone. Can I ask you this morning, are you happy? Are you happy? Are you truly happy? And if you're not, what would make you happy? Would it be fame? Would it be fortune? Would it be awards? I've got a clip I want to play to you of an Hollywood actor you've probably heard of called Jim Carrey. And he was at the 2022 Golden Globe Awards in Hollywood. And he said this.
From the upcoming film True Crimes, please welcome two-time Golden Globe winner, Jim Carrey.
Thank you. I am two-time Golden Globe winner, Jim Carrey. You know, when I go to sleep at night, I'm not just a guy going to sleep. I'm two-time Golden Globe winner, Jim Carrey, going to get some well-needed shut-eye. And when I dream, I don't just dream any old dream. No, sir. I dream about being three-time Golden Globe winning actor Jim Carrey. Because then I would be enough. It would finally be true. And I could stop this terrible search.
He's being funny, but you can tell he's also being serious. There is a genuine question that he has there. Will it be finally enough? Will it finally be true? Could I then stop this terrible search? And this search is something that every single one of us maybe has already made or is going to make, whether we know it or not. It's the search for meaning, the search for validation, the search for wholeness, the search for worth, success, power, privilege, money, security, perhaps even food. For Jim Carrey, he thought success as a comedian, first through comedy clubs, and then on TV, on Saturday Night Live, and then making it big in the movies, he thought that would be enough. He became one of the world's highest paid movie stars. He had everything. Success meant that doors opened to him. He could pick the roles that he wanted, and he had more money than he ever needed. He was adored. He was worshipped, even. He had everything he needed and more. And those things aren't bad in themselves, but did they bring him true happiness? Well, maybe for a while. It may have been great in short bursts, but like most material things, it was fleeting. The buzz would fade, and the emptiness and the unhappiness would return. So Jim is making the point here. I call him Jim. Jim is making the point here that success isn't enough. He has everything, but it's still not enough to make him happy. To keep him happy, he is missing something. And there's a character called King Solomon in the Bible. And he also had everything. He had power, he had wealth, and he was rich. And he also had a God-given gift of wisdom. But he wrote this in Ecclesiastes 1:14. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity, a striving after the wind. You see, you can't catch the wind with your hand. If you try, you just can't do it. It's impossible. It's a pointless exercise to try. And happiness is the same. It quickly fades away. So, if you can't get happiness through material things, is there something that we can get that is better? Everyone feeling happy? Or you're really down and glum? Don't worry. I would suggest that a better thing than happiness is joy. Hurrah. But isn't that the same as happiness? No, there's a major difference between the two. And that's what I'd like us to look at this morning as we continue our Fruits of the Spirit series, where we are looking at the second fruit of the Spirit, joy. So let's read that fruits passage again, Galatians 5, starting at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you for everything you've been speaking to us. Lord, I thank you that we have a hope in you. And Lord, I pray that you'll give us strength, Lord. I pray that you'll speak to us this morning through your word. Pray my words will fall on dead ground, but your words, Lord, may they speak to us and change us. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, what is the difference between happiness and joy? Well, happiness is defined in the dictionary as feeling happy. It's great being happy, isn't it? I have to say, I think happiness, being happy is better than being sad. Does everyone agree? Who wants to be happy? Hands up. Who wants to be sad? Thought so. Of course, happiness is a problem because it doesn't last. But why doesn't it last? Why do we have these ups and downs with happiness? Well, I believe it's because happiness depends on our circumstances. You might meet up with friends and have a great evening, have a great time with them, really enjoy it, and you're happy in the moment. You come home and there's that happy glow afterwards. But then you wake up in the morning and that is a faint memory. It's gone. And you don't feel happy anymore. Perhaps you just feel even killed, or you might even feel sad and lonely. It doesn't last because happiness is often tied up in the things we do, in the people we see, the success that we might have at work, or our hobbies, or even our sports. They're all things that bring us happiness, but they don't last. And then what happens if things go wrong? If we're having a bad day, we don't feel happy then, do we? In fact, if things go bad for me, I feel really unhappy. In fact, it's worse than that, I feel miserable. So that is happiness. So what about joy? How is that different to happiness? Well, for a start, joy is listed as one of the fruits of the Spirit. And happiness isn't. I know, because I've checked. It's not there. But you might think happiness and joy, they're the same thing, aren't they? They sound the same. They're both positive emotions. People can often use them interchangeably. So what is joy? Well, the Greek word Paul uses in Galatians 5 is the word chara. It and its variations, joyful and rejoice, appears in the ESV Bible 430 times. So how do we define joy? Well, joy, I would suggest, is a deep, God-centered gladness. A deep, God-centered gladness, an inner peace, an inner knowing, an inner calm. And joy is different from happiness because it doesn't rely on our circumstances. It's not affected by what's going on around us. Instead, it relies on something that never changes. God himself. So, who is the source of our joy? Joy comes from knowing the Lord. For those of us who have asked him into our lives, we know that he has saved us. We know that he is in us. We know that he gives us promises. He gives us a calling. He gives us gifts. And he gives us a blessed assurance. And this gives us a deep joy. Jesus said this about joy in John 15, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. So Jesus says here that he has joy. How does Jesus have joy? Because he knows the Father loves him. And Jesus abides in his Father's love. So how does he abide in his Father's love? It says here, by keeping his Father's commandments. And this is the amazing thing. His desire that is that the joy he has for his Father may be in us. He wants us to have that same joy. And he wants our joy to be to the full, to overflow. So how do we do that? We do that by abiding in the Lord's love. We do it by obeying his commands. And if we do that, we will have joy to the full. It sounds great, doesn't it? So here's the catch. What are his commandments? Well, Jesus was asked this very question, which of the commandments should we keep, Lord? And he said in Matthew 22:37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So, as Christians, we do our best, don't we, to obey these commandments. Because doing so means that we abide in Christ. And then his joy is in us. So, we abide in Christ, and we have a deep sense of that joy of the Lord. But then things get tough. The trial comes, and it is relentless. The longer it goes on, the more it saps our strength, doesn't it? We get tired. We get irritable. We are no longer happy. We are actually despairing. And finally, we come to the end of ourselves. Do we have joy then? It can be incredibly difficult to get any sense of the Lord when we're going through suffering. Why is that? Is it because the Lord has changed in some way? Does he love you less in that time because you haven't been able to constantly look up to him, to hold on to him? The temptation comes during trials, during suffering, to believe he's not there, that he doesn't exist, that he has abandoned you, that he doesn't love you anymore, that he isn't there. But of course, we know that isn't true. It just feels like it is. The Lord promises to never leave us. Hebrews 13:5 says, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord's love for us hasn't changed in that moment. He is there with you, but he's calling you to be closer to him, to hang on hang on tight despite everything. In James 1, 2, he says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." So, can we count it all joy when we go through trials? Can we welcome it, knowing the fruit it will produce, that it will deepen our love for him and deepen our knowledge of him? Most of you know that Ilya and I went through 2 years of hell with our neighbor. We had to endure constant noises, different noises, 24 hours, well, during daylight hours, all day. It was repetitive. Did I count that as all joy? No, I didn't. It was incredibly hard just to get through every day. It almost literally drove us to the edge of insanity. But from this safe spot here today, I can look back at that time and say that I'm thankful for it. Because I realize now what the Lord was doing in our lives. He was changing us. He was producing that steadfastness. He was deepening our faith. And he was preparing us for what he was calling us to. So do I count it as all joy now? Yes, I do. I can see what the Lord has done in my life. And that suffering was part of that journey. And I genuinely rejoice in that, because I don't think I could have got the deep sense of the love that the Lord has for me that I have now. That's changed. I look, prior to that, I didn't have this deep sense. So I'm really grateful, Lord, for that. I'm not asking for more, but I am grateful for it. And I'm also grateful for the amazing support we had through that time. Everyone in the church was incredibly supportive and loving, and that was fantastic. And if you're going through something today, if you feel like you haven't got that hope or that joy, please tell someone in the church. Please ask for help. Ask for prayer. Come up to us at the end of the service and just say, "Please help." We'll be more than willing to be with you in that. But often when you go through these trials, there is one person who can actually be really helpful, and that is someone who's experienced the same sort of suffering that you have. And during that time, I remember a friend from City Church in Canterbury giving us a call because he'd heard about our situation. And we had a long chat on the phone, and he shared with me that he too, him and his wife, had gone through exactly the same thing. Relentless noise all day, every day. And they'd come out the other side. And he was able to offer me hope. He was able to say, "There is light at the end of that tunnel." And that was a great comfort. There's something special about someone who's suffered in the same way as you. And it is slightly different. You need the other people as well, but to have that confidence is important. So we're quite fortunate in a way, because our Lord Jesus, he knows something about suffering, doesn't he? He knows what it is to endure the most horrendous torture and to endure that most horrendous death. He is indeed the suffering servant. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Did you spot that? For the joy set before him. What was that joy? It was to join his Father in heaven, to receive his reward, and to be given his bride, the church, all beautiful and clean because of what he'd done for us on the cross. That means that the joy set before him was each one of us in this room. That he saw us and he said, "Yes, Father, I will suffer and die. I will go through that torture and pain because I love my church and I love the people you're going to give me." So, if we are part of his joy, can I ask you whether he is your joy this morning? So I come to the end. Paul tells us in Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I will say, rejoice. Always. We are to rejoice in the Lord always. We can only do this because joy doesn't depend on our circumstances. It depends on the one who never changes. Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore." If the Lord never changes, we can utterly depend on him. I heard this quote in a podcast recently from Charles Spurgeon. Apparently he once said, "There is no joy in this world like union with Christ. The more we can feel it, the happier we are." Abiding in him, loving him, obeying his commandments produces that fruit of the Spirit that flows out of our heart, that deep abiding joy of the Lord. And it follows, if we have that joy, we should share it, really, shouldn't we? It should be infectious and spill out from us and touch people's lives around us. And having that deep joy should also bring us to our knees. It should bring us to worship, to worship of the one who gives us that deep joy. 1 Peter 8 says, "Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible." So, this morning, we give thanks to him, we praise him, we worship him. For there is nothing better than being in unity with our precious Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that joyous? Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for the joy that you have put in our hearts, Lord. And Lord, as hard as it is, we count it all joy to go through trials. Thank you for the trials that have come in our lives already, that have changed us to be more like you. Help us to fix our eyes on you if we're going through a trial this morning. Lord, we thank you that you know our sufferings and you've experienced it yourself, that you suffered and died for us. Lord, may we abide in your love. May we obey your commands. May you give us that deep joy this morning. And may we share that joy with others. If this is you, will you pray this prayer? If you feel like the Lord's speaking to you this morning, if he's just calling you to something deeper, if he's asking you to commit to him, maybe you don't know him. Will you just pray this prayer? Lord Jesus, I need hope. I need help. I need that joy. Lord, will you come into my life? As much as I understand it, I give you my life and I give you permission to be my Lord. Will you save me from the past? Will you save me from the wrong things I've done? I put myself into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word and your blessing. Continue to speak to us, we pray. We worship and praise your holy name. Amen.